This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
Mom, just wait.
No time to wait. Very busy.
Across the multiverse, I've seen thousands of Evelyns.
If you can imagine it, somewhere out there, it exists.
Hold me now, don't start shaking. You keep me safe, you'll never think you're the only one.
The universe is bigger than you realize.
Do you think this is funny?
There's no going back.
Of all the places I could be, I just want to be here with you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila, and Arvind. So yesterday we talked about a chaotic action film. Today we're going to be talking about a chaotic action sci-fi film, and that is Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which was written and directed by Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, and perhaps most importantly, stars our very own Michelle Yeoh. And I think the stars is significant, right? She hasn't actually starred in like this sort of big, major star vehicle kind of production. This is really almost, I think, the first that makes full use of her.
I think it's very interesting when we say it stars her, because I 100% think that the cinema that I was in was so full, like on a weekday night, because people went for Michelle Yeoh. And at least in our part of the world, I think that's a big deal, because otherwise, this isn't the kind of film that you'd expect that kind of a crowd for. Because I think ultimately it's the kind of movie that requires quite a big buy-in from the audience in terms of being along for a ride that may not make a lot of sense, may not at the end leave you fully sure of what you watched. It's one of those like glorious, messy, thought-provoking kind of films that make me very excited to watch it and leave me thinking a lot about it, but not necessarily so sure that I'd recommend it to everyone.
Ooh, I had the opposite take on the whole thing, because I think we all like big A24 people here, like we love the studio, but their movies I think like need a buy-in from the audience. Like, it's not easy and they're not as accessible as you think they'd be. But this movie, of all their movies, I think is so mainstream in its humor and its comedy. And the concept is big, but it's also not trying to hit you over the head with something so experimental or so unorthodox. So in that sense, I was kind of bummed that it was not showing in bigger screens, because I watched it on a smaller screen in like an older hall. Speakers were okay-ish, screen was kind of dirty, and I wish they showed it in like a IMAX or like a big screen sort of thing, so that we'd have that experience. Because it is so weird, like it's such an insane movie. It's a big movie. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes. The performances are so good. And at the end of the day, it's something that even if you'd explain it to someone, like you gave the plot away to someone, they still wouldn't be able to comprehend exactly what's happening within the first half hour of the movie.
And neither can the characters, which I think is important, because we first meet Evelyn as this tired, harassed laundromat owner who seems to be in a state of crisis, right? Her laundromat is under investigation. Her family is falling apart. Her critical father is here. Like, there are all sorts of things that are going on in her life. And then suddenly, at a crucial moment when she's being audited, when everything could just get so much worse, she's instead informed, actually, you know what? The multiverses are now all reliant on you. We think you're the one, but first you have to survive. And you know what you need to do? Learn to access your other multiverse selves. And you know how you do that? I'm not really going to be able to tell you. I don't have a lot of time. I'm flickering in and out. That's the start of the movie, or rather, that's the start of the true movie. Mm. And I think the thing about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once is the title gives it away. It is all of that. It is a lot. It is a constant and consistent assault on the senses. It really keeps going. And I think your mileage for that might vary. I agree that the humor and the performances make it really accessible. The writing, in fact, also really simplifies the notion of the multiverse and tries to keep it relatively simple considering that concept. But I do think that, well, I mean, are you tired? going into this, right? Like, if you're tired going into this, 2.5 hours later, you're going to be more tired. Like, so I that's all I would say in terms of why I might not recommend it to everybody. I did, however, really love it. I loved it. My, you know, growing up on local / Hong Kong cinema heart just loved it to death.
Oh, I loved the film. And I certainly don't mean to say that I don't think it's a good film. I just think that it might be a tough sell for a lot of people, only because I think there's a lot of, you have to have patience with what the movie is trying to do. Things don't immediately make sense. And particularly that beginning, right? It's got a definite structure to it. There's I want to say a 3-act structure, loosely.
The movie wants you to think that, at least.
Yes, exactly. But also, it takes its time. So, like, at certain points, even I, who was enjoying the movie tremendously, was wondering, like, oh, how much longer is this going to go? Because it doesn't feel like we've gotten where it should get yet. But that said, I loved how much it's invested not just in cinema and not just in drawing inspiration from cinema, but how much it's invested in Michelle Yeoh and the Michelle Yeoh mythos and what she represents to the screen, because it's nice to see someone get her due for all the different things that she's capable of. And the one aspect that I didn't expect that I loved is how much she leans into the humor. I don't think I've seen her be this funny before.
I thought the same. I kept thinking, I was like, I didn't know that Michelle Yeoh was funny. And she was really funny.
She was really, really funny.
Yeah.
So I love how, you know, it has like this huge thing about the multiverse and it's sci-fi and stuff. But at the end of the day, it really is just a family story, right? Mm. It has a simple message. It uses all this multiverse stuff to make you think it's important. But you don't have to really understand how any of that works. Like, you don't have to understand the world building or the mythology or the rules of this universe that they're putting out. It's all there for fluff in the best way possible. They're all just plot devices. So I think that even if you go in not wanting to invest that much in how this whole movie is supposed to function, at the end of the day, if you just invest in the characters and the performances and just the basic message of the film, you will come out enjoying it. Because unlike something like, say, a Christopher Nolan movie, you don't have to fully comprehend what they're saying to emotionally connect to what they're saying.
So it's not a logic-driven film.
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that if you're thinking about it in terms of logical storytelling and if you're the kind of person who will, upon leaving the movie, sit down with like a notepad and draw out charts and try to figure out how things connect, then I don't think it's going to hold together in that sense. But at the end of it all, did it make emotional sense? Did the plot satisfy emotionally? I think it did. I also think, and this is hard for me to separate, I imagine that it's hard for many people in our region to separate, actually. I also just love the fact that this is clearly, like I said at the start, a star vehicle. It seems to me that a lot of the fluff and the fun of the visuals and the story exists merely to extol and enhance the virtues and to build on the virtues of Michelle Yeoh as a star. And the same is true for Ki Hui Kwan, actually, who we would all, I think, better know as Short Round or Data, and who hasn't been working very much as an actor as an adult. But the movie really leans into what makes both of them stars, their ability to do martial arts, their ability to represent, you know, Asianness in a very particular way on screen. I mean, for that reason alone, despite the fact that it's crazy and all over the place, I love it. You know, it's a flex. The whole movie is one big flex.
And it does that in so many ways, right, that we would recognize. It draws very blatantly from Wong Kar Wai, for instance. it heavily has scenes that are straight up Jackie Chan-inspired fight scenes.
There are scenes that are actually straight up from Michelle Yeoh's life. I think it's worth saying that.
And then as a counterpoint, it kind of plays around with things like Kill Bill, because I think there's a lot of awareness and a lot of love in this film for the place that Asian cinema, particularly Hong Kong / Chinese cinema, has had on Hollywood, and has the larger ecosystem outside of Hollywood that it also lives in. Because the one thing the movie does that I love is how seamlessly it switches between Mandarin and English. And I, at least, had to find myself listening sometimes, switching to subtitles sometimes, listening again, subtitles again. And I was just thinking that for an American audience, this is not common. And the fact that the film does this so boldly is actually a really big deal.
boldly is such a good word, because they sort of lean into the silliness of the movie itself, which is something that you don't see a lot from A24, going back to the studio, right? Normally, they are sort of highbrow in their humor and then the way they do things. How much did you guys laugh throughout the movie? Because I found myself laughing, like, uncontrollably at certain scenes. Like, and
a
I didn't
lot,
expect...
but also yelping or gasping and like, just weird reactions to everything.
Weird, wide-eyed reactions at some of the things that were going on, which you don't expect, because normally when A24 does humor, they mean, like, the lobster.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's always the lobster.
It's always the lobster, which is not a movie that you're like, you know, ha-ha laughing out loud. It's a movie that's funny. It's ticklish. This movie, I was, like tearing up literally at some scenes because it was just so weird. Like, some of the things and some of the choices, I couldn't believe what I was looking at, because it's so out of left field, but they bravely lean into that left fieldness. Like, they bravely go there and they don't hold back. Like, they don't hold back on any of the punches.
Today we're talking about Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, which is that new film that you might have seen out and about. It is, as we've mentioned, an A24 film. It's written and directed by Dan Kwan and Daniel Scheinert, or the Daniels, I believe they're credited as well. And it stars Michelle Yeoh, Ki Hui Kwan, and a number of other folks, which we'll talk about later on. But we'd like to hear from you. Have you seen Everything, Everywhere, All at Once? Do you plan to? Did you like it? As always, we want to know. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from mediocrity. BFM 89.9.
Mrs. Wang. Mrs. Wang.
Mrs. Wang, are you with us?
I am paying attention.
Now, you may only see a pile of receipts, but I see a story. I can see where this story is going.
It does not look good.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Shyamalan, Arvin, and together we are reviewing a movie that we all very much enjoyed, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Let's talk about two things. I wanted to talk about the direction, because I think kind of trying to wrangle this whole thing into place would have been and requires something. And then it also wouldn't have worked if the performances weren't there to ground it. So maybe we start with the visuals and the way in which the film is put together. I think it's so beautiful. It's got that A24 kind of slow, warm feel overall. You know, things are a little bit fuzzy around the edges. The kind of aesthetics of it are deeply excessive. Even the script is frankly ridiculous. I can't actually remember the name of the antagonist. I don't think you're
Jobu
meant to.
Tupaki.
Or Juju Chewbacca.
Or Juju Patuti.
You know, and it's ridiculous on purpose. And I really enjoyed that. I super enjoyed the aesthetics of the movie.
I loved how this film looked. I mean, they make a big deal about how life is all laundry and taxes. And really, the two large set pieces of the film revolve around a laundromat and a tax office. And so then you have those. And then in between, you have these bursts of craziness, whether it's costuming, Juju, whatever is costuming, or, you know, the different places, the different multiverses that we visit and how they look, veering all the way from high glam to just straight up ridiculous. There's so much inventiveness in how the film looks, and they're not afraid to, I think, just look silly. Silliness isn't a bad thing in this film. In fact, silliness is not even silly. Silliness has a point. And so there's all these layers. I think even the supposedly boring aspects, like the laundromat, there's things in every corner. There are bits and pieces everywhere that all ultimately fit into the storyline.
Juju's costume makes no sense. It makes no sense.
Which one?
I love
there are so
all
many.
Of them. All of them make no sense. So the aesthetics is exactly why I said earlier that I wish this was showing in bigger screens, because, like, on the 4K projectors in the better halls, it's a Michelle Yeoh vehicle, and I think that if it was promoted better here, just like a nudge to the local distributors or whatever, this movie I think would do well. And I was kind of bummed to find that it's not showing in the bigger halls, because these aesthetics, I think, they need to be seen in the best way possible. Like, they're so, like you said, it has that grain, but it also has so much care. Like, you know that it's designed with something in mind, you know that it's designed for a purpose. And whenever they switch from location to location to location, it looks so beautiful that you wish that you could linger in those scenes a while longer. The movie is long, but sometimes something just catches you and it looks so well shot that you want to just stay there for a while, or even like frame it up. And yeah, just for that reason alone, I think it should be seen on like the best screen that you can find.
So the care about the aesthetics, just to close off, I thought was really cool, because it is very easy when you're shifting between worlds and characters, and sometimes you don't shift worlds, but you do shift characters, you know, for you to lose sight of what is actually going on. And the kinds of aesthetic choices they make from scene to scene, world to world, and also the acting choices, which brings us to the actors, means that everything was, for me, very distinct. I always knew when we were with this Evelyn or another Evelyn, or when we were with Alpha Waymond or other Waymonds. And, you know, it was easier to keep track in a way that I think was surprising, considering how chaotic the movie is. So let's talk about the people. We've mentioned Michelle Yeoh, we've mentioned Ke Huy Quan, but there's also Jamie Lee Curtis
who's amazing.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing in such a thankless role, you guys. You know, she was really good. You have Harry Shum Jr. I can't even begin to describe what it is that he's doing. You've got James Hong, you've got Stephanie Hsu, who's great, you have Jenny Slate. And I think it's the performances made the film, right? I know we've talked a lot about the aesthetics, but without the performances, you wouldn't care about the emotional true north that drives its way through the mess.
And that's for everyone. Stephanie Hsu is the best example, I think, of someone whose characterization and how her story arc goes veers all the way from the very internal, very human, to larger than life, outsized craziness. And she nails every aspect of it. You're with her along the way, all the way. You get why she's the way she is. But even with someone like Jamie Lee Curtis, who, I mean, first of all, like... First of all, I was like, Jamie Lee, why are you in this film? But also, oh my God, you're amazing. Even she gets moments or pockets where you really feel for her, right? And where she's utterly human. But on the other hand, also broad and silly and fun. I don't know. I just thought all of the actors truly understood what they were doing in this movie and the importance of going all out.
I mean, there are some scenes or there are some bits in the film that are like Adam Sandler levels of stupid.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
This shouldn't be like an indie celebrated thing that has like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever. It's Adam Sandler levels. But it's done so well. My one thing about this movie is that I think it's a bit too long. At 2 hours and 20 minutes, I think it could have easily shaved off 20 minutes. Because the movie has like a very important message that it wants to drive home. And it gets to that message by the 2 hour mark, I think. And then after that, it's just hitting you over the head with the same message repeatedly again and again in like multiple different ways. And I thought that, you know, that sort of dragged the movie out a bit and I got bored towards the end, which I shouldn't have been, because that's the climax, right? So maybe a bit too long, I think.
100% agree. I also think that it's why I said flex earlier. Mm. It's good, it's bad. I really think what you had were filmmakers, because they wrote and directed, right? So you have filmmakers who are really just flexing and enjoying their ability to stretch out their own story with their own aesthetics. And they were doing it really well. I understand why it is that they would think that we would be with them. And to be fair, we were with them for a significant chunk of the way. But towards the end, I definitely felt the time going. I was like, also, it pulls a lot of the Rings move. I think that does not help when you are at the kind of time mark that we were with this film, where you're like, oh. And then, you know, yeah. I don't think that feeling is ever one that's that fun to feel, especially in a long movie.
I felt like they fell in love a little bit too much with the multiverse they'd created and couldn't help but show us more of it, which was fine. Like, it's not that I didn't want to see it, but you're right that by the time we got to it, it you were feeling it a little bit. I will say, though, that this is really just the Daniels' second feature-length film. And the first one was Swiss Army Man, which I also loved and which was also bonkers.
Also Adam Sandler levels of stupid.
Also Adam Sandler levels of stupid with so much pathos and you know, punches you in the gut when you don't expect it. So, I mean, I'm so excited to see what will happen next, because if by your second movie you can make something like this... I can only imagine the amazing madness that's going to come.
I mean, speaking of what happens next, is this the first A24 movie that might have a sequel or has sequel potential? And that's not saying like anything, but it seems like a world that could be revisited if they wanted to.
It could, but I also love that it's a standalone. I really want it to be a standalone, partly because the standalone itself was too long. And so the idea of them returning to this world, I don't know. I just enjoyed it so much. I also wanted to just re-give shine to the central pair because we talked about the other performances, but the sheer charisma and also physical charisma of the two main actors, it wouldn't work if you didn't have people who could do that, who could do the things they did with their faces and their voices, but also do the things that they did with their hands and feet, you know?
I love them. They were so believable as an old married couple. I say old, middle-aged is probably more appropriate. So much chemistry in every iteration of them that we see. I don't think I want a sequel or anything else because I think the concept would collapse upon itself. I think that it would get too stretched and then the logic holes would start to show.
Would you recommend this movie to... I know in the beginning you said that it might need like a buy-in and stuff, but... Not would you recommend, like how would you recommend this movie to people? Would you say they watch it at home or do you say they watch it in the cinema? If they can't get like a large hall, like I was recommending, what's the best way to watch this?
I think the cinema, and I'll tell you why. I wish this movie was marketed the way Hunger Games was, with character posters and yes, aesthetic value, because I think people would go watch it just for that.
I think definitely the cinema, but if you have a fantastic television that you enjoy and a comfortable room and 2 hours to really focus, I would go for it. The main thing I would say is wherever you watch it, do it well rested. And I genuinely think that's important because it's an exhausting film. It's a great film, but it's an exhausting film.
I think the 2 hours is important. Like if you can watch it whenever it's out and you can dedicate 2 hours and 20 minutes like uninterrupted, then do it at home. Otherwise, I'd say pay for a ticket. Like this is so worth the price of a ticket. Like go watch it.
We all loved it. We've been talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once. Have you seen it? Do you plan to? And if you have, did you like it like we did? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.